But the fruit of the Spirit is produced is love, joy, and peace. It has been patient, kind, and good. It has been faithful and gentle in having control of oneself. There is no law against this kind. Those who belong to Christ have been nailed in their sinful desires to his cross. They don't want these things anymore. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. As you know, we have moved into the series of the fruit of the Spirit. And as Andrew said, he has done kindness. When we look at the fruit of the Spirit, they are, in essence, the character of Jesus. For Jesus is love and Jesus is joy and Jesus is peace. He is patient, he is kind, he is good, he is faithful and he is gentle. And as we allow the Spirit to grow in our lives, we are being transformed into being like Jesus, living out his very character in our lives. I have been crucified with Christ. I don't live any longer, but it's Christ who lives in me. So how do we keep in step with the Spirit? Come to me, all who are tired and are carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Place my yoke on your shoulders and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble. Then you will find rest for yourselves, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now, kids, when it's talking yoke here, it has nothing to do with chickens. Oh, I know. A yoke is something that was used before farmers had tractors. And so what they would do is that they would use oxen, which are just big cows, really. And so a yoke would join some ox together. But what a farmer would do is that he would have an older, experienced ox, and he would team it up with a younger ox, so that that one would learn to know what to do. The older one would take the younger one and show it what it means to be an ox and a yoke to plow a field. So when it says we are to be yoked with Jesus, we are joined with him, we learn from him, we are transformed by him, and even during those times of doubt and fear, and even during those times of depression, and even during those times where we are non-active in the relationship with Jesus, it's Jesus who holds the relationship together, because we are joined with him. And Jesus says, I am gentle, which so happens to be one of the fruit of the Spirit. And so this morning, I'm going to have a look at gentleness. But here's a little video, because you've had enough of me.
Got your bike. I'll leave it right here. Wow. Whoa, wow! Whoa! This is some next level stuff. That was odd.
Oh, you don't like the little piggy balloon? Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. Hija, no llores, no llores. We'll get you another balloon. Gracias, señor.
¿Qué es este globito?
Oh, nice. Mira ese globo, mi vida.
All yours, little guy.
Ave Maria Purissima.
Ferdinand, you shouldn't be here.
A mirror lately? Get back to the farm. I'll hold them off. Hey, I'm not done with you people.
You are a feather. A 2,000-pound feather. Huh? Slow. Huh? Huh?
There's an old saying that someone as subtle and as gentle as a bull in a china shop. So what is gentleness? The dictionary has it as the quality of being kind and tender and mild-mannered. Gentleness is making the choice to care for others, particularly those in need. It's choosing to be loving. It's choosing to put others before ourselves, effectively making ourselves third in the rung. God first, others second, and us third. And when we look at the life and death of Jesus, we find that this was so for him. When Jesus dealt with people while he was on earth, the people he was gentle with were those who were hurting, those who were broken, those who were misunderstood. The only people he wasn't gentle with were the self-righteous and the religious, and we know some of the names that he called them. And our story that was read by Naomi this morning, it's an example of the gentleness of Jesus versus the harshness of the Pharisees. Now, has anyone ever made a trap?
I have. And kids, you can try this at home. Now, this is a classic trap. What you then do is you put some breadcrumbs under there, and then you wait, and then when the bird comes...
We never caught a thing. Ever. But the idea was good. You see, the key to making a good trap is to make it A, foolproof, B, hidden, and have really tempting bait. Now, the Pharisees wanted to trap Jesus. So they laid a foolproof plan. They had the right bait, and they were sure that they had the ultimate trap. And so with great anticipation, they went to the temple where Jesus was teaching. They placed the bait in the trap. And the bait was a woman caught in adultery. And then they said to Jesus, "Teacher, Moses, that is the law, commands that such a woman be stoned. What do you say?" Now, the whole thing of adultery is it takes two to tango, but the man's not present. Simply because the whole thing of adultery is actually, in the minds of the Pharisees at this particular time, is completely and utterly irrelevant. The woman is there as bait. She is there as an object. That's her only purpose. So they arrive with the woman. They lay her as bait. They set the trap for Jesus. And they have arrived with the full force of the law. They are literally the bull in the china shop. They are experts. They are able to argue and pick and nit and pick even the smallest detail to get their point correct, as long as they are right. And they have arrived ready for a fight. Because you see, with this trap, Jesus is caught between a rock and a hard place. Because if Jesus says, "Let her go," then he would be ignoring the Old Testament law and therefore would cast doubt on him as a religious teacher and would cast doubt on the fact that he is sent from God. But if he says, "Do as the law commands and stone her," then he would lose his credibility as a teacher who was known for compassion for those who were broken and hurting and poor. The very things that set him apart from all the other teachers. Plus, if he says, "Stone her," then those words could be twisted by the authorities. And he could be presented to the Romans, because the only people who were allowed to declare the death sentence on anybody was the Roman authorities. So in effect, the Pharisees was putting Jesus' compassion against his justice. Which one are you going to choose, Jesus? You're going to be tough or you're going to be tender? Either way, the trap is going to be sprung. Now, Jesus doesn't get angry and he doesn't get argumentative with the Pharisees. In fact, he doesn't do anything, not even reply, except he just starts writing in the sand. And the hunters can sense and see that he's looking for a way out. So they go in for the kill. Come on. What do you say, Jesus? In a gentle way, with everybody looking, he has changed the focus from the woman to people now to focus on what he is writing and on himself and on themselves. And then he says, "Stoner, got him. Bring in the Romans. The trap has been sprung. Jesus is now out of here. One up for the Pharisees." But, says Jesus, whoever has committed no sin at all, ever, can throw the first stone. Then the rest of you can join in. The hunters, the Pharisees, are stopped in their tracks. The bait was taken. The trap was sprung. Their perfect trap had gone off. But Jesus wasn't in it. They were. They hadn't caught him. He had caught them. The eyes of the people were no longer on the woman, but were now on the Pharisees. We don't know what Jesus wrote in the sand, but it was enough to make the Pharisees consider their own sin. Sin exposed by Jesus for all to see. And then one by one, starting with the oldest, they all left. The bull has been removed from the china shop. They had come demanding and asking about the woman's sin, and Jesus had made them focus on their own. Now Jesus turns his attention to the woman. Where are those who accused you? And Jesus treats her as a person. He doesn't treat her as bait, does not treat her as an object. And in asking her to look up, she has to raise her head from looking down in shame to now looking up with a sense of hope. The trial of the woman is still going on. It hasn't finished because the Pharisees have left. Jesus doesn't ask if she's guilty. He already knows. So the one person who could throw the stone indeed does throw a stone. But it's a stone of forgiveness. And the command to go and sin no more. In gentleness, Jesus gives life, not condemnation. The woman was in a trap, and now she was free. Free by Jesus to begin again. Throughout the story, Jesus was kind, tender, and well-mannered. The very definition of gentleness.